Tegan, each week on our segment, we try to bring something a little bit different. And today, look, many of our listeners probably have significant assets. We do have a lot of wealth in our region. And there's going to come a point in the future for all of us where that wealth is going to transfer to the next generation. And unfortunately, the saying goes that the first generation makes it, the second generation spends it, and the third generation blows it.
Whoa.
So I want to explore that today. Why is that? Why is it? I mean, this is nothing new. The Chinese have a saying, Fu Bu Gao San Dai. And I checked that with one of my work colleagues, and that's the right pronunciation. Wealth never survives three generations. And that was written thousands of years ago. So why is that? What is it in us, in our psyche, that when we get money or easy money, that it just flows through and...
One hand out the other almost.
Yeah, but it didn't happen in the first generation. Why is that?
Why?
Well, I think it's because when you're building wealth, you have a purpose. You know, you've had blood, sweat and tears in building those assets. And generally, you've had a reason why you're building them. And you've got your strong values around it. And so, you know, you really look at those assets and you protect them. And you really want to see them, you know, enrich your life and your family's life. And then when you pass, I would sure those values, you would love them to remain. But that doesn't seem to be the case.
Mm.
And so today I want to talk about if you do have significant assets that you will transfer, how can you plan for that in a way that your values and your approach and that feeling of those blood, sweat and tears of getting that money and protecting it, how can you pass that to the second generation? And imagine if I was interviewing today someone who just won $2 million on the lotto.
Yeah.
What do you reckon they'd say if I said, what are you going to do with the money?
First you pay your house off, then you go on a holiday, don't you? Is that the two things most people say?
They do, definitely, and they buy a few toys. But the reason why major lotto winners are bankrupt within 5 years, and there's a study in the States around this, was because they give too much money away.
Ah, right.
And so they've got this money that's come easy.
And you're like, I'll give it to some to my mum and my brother and my sister. And before you know it, you've got $2 left in your hand and went, oh, oops.
And this is people who might have won $20 million. Mm. 5 years later, they're bankrupt. And it comes back to that thing about easy money. And I don't know, you know, if you did win $2 million, I'm sure all sorts of people would pop out of the woodwork and have a sense of entitlement that you should give me some of that money because you got it easy, so you should give me some.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, guess what happens?
Yeah, it gets very difficult, doesn't it? Very difficult.
So families break down, you know, brothers and sisters that were really close, you know, it all falls apart.
Well, what can we do? Let's just pretend we're working with $500,000. Let's just say that's the number that we've got. Let's say that you are wanting to give $500,000 to, you're turning an asset, you're going to sell a house and you're going to give it to your son. How can you then make sure that that money lasts or is spent kind of how you want it to be? Because once you give someone $500,000, they can do whatever they want with it.
Absolutely. And the one thing that I'm not advocating today is that you parent from the grave.
Yeah.
Because it's too late.
Yes, yes.
What the lesson today is that all these things should be done while you're alive, while you can pass on to your next generation those values that we've spoken about.
Mm-hmm.
And if we talk about more substantial money, think about how that works, and then it applies right down to the $500,000.
Mm.
So, you know, if you've got a $10 million estate and it's going to go to the next generation, under a standard will, you're going to write down a number of things that you'd like to see happen. And eventually when you pass away, hopefully those instructions are carried out and people receive their part of the inheritance. Unfortunately, you see often that there's family fights around that. Why would that be? Why would people fight around your wishes?
Well, firstly, there are people that feel like they're more entitled than other people. Like I've worked in that business as well for 20. I helped that happen. You didn't. You were off at uni and traveling around the world and you didn't do. I deserve a bigger share than you. You sometimes get a person who's not even interested. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to be a part of this estate. This is nothing for me here. I want mine paid out. Give me my money and let me go. And then often there could be, you know, a group of them that just have a different vision to you.
That's right. And so... let's think about it. That's not what you want.
No, Not at all.
So what can we do? So in a book called Beating the Midas Curse, and it's a book about estate planning while you're alive. And it's a fantastic book. And really what it talks about is including your family early on in the piece, in the whole process. And the first part of that process is really designing and understanding and articulating what are your values around creating that money. What was it about? What drove you? What is important to you about those assets right now? And certainly you want to be able to articulate that to your beneficiaries.
Mm.
The second part is together with the family, sharing what your vision is for the future. So how would you like to see that money transferred to the next generation? Not instructions, you must do this, must do that, but an aspirational vision. You know, I'd love to see, you know, you use that money effectively, that you invest it wisely, that you build it over your lifetime and enjoy the fruits of that, but pass it on to your children.
Mm-hmm.
And then that they also have a start in life and they pass it on to their children. And so the beneficiaries can start to see what the purpose is of that money. And if we go back to the earlier comment about the lotto winner.
Yes.
So they've got no purpose.
Yep.
This money's just landed in my account. And so what do I do with it?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, for some of us thinking about $2 million, we're sitting here going, oh gosh, if only, like there's so much I could do with it and I would do this and I would do that and I'd save this much. But until you actually have, you know, until you actually go to the ATM and you see that those dollar figures there, and that's when you start, shoong, here you go. You feel generous, don't you?
Oh, look, that's human nature.
Mm.
But the real issue is having purpose around the money.
Mm.
And again, if our listeners are thinking about what they'd like to see, well, there's a process that they can do. And getting everyone around the table understanding those issues, there'll be certainly a lot less fights at the other end of the equation, and that's what we all really like. And so getting them involved, getting them understanding, you know, what the purpose is, understanding what the assets might be beforehand, so mm-hmm. there's no sitting around the lawyer's table going, you know, what did I get, what did I didn't get? And if there is any sort of confusion or conversations that need to happen, have them now.
What about that awkward conversation if you've got that, you know, say there's four children in the family and you're looking at your $10 million asset and there's three that you think, you know what, you guys are going to do pretty okay, and there's one that you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know whether I should be including, you don't want to leave them out, but you're like, oh, if I put you in there. And sometimes it can be attitude or life circumstances or choices they've made that means they won't fit. It's just not going to fit. How do you do that without it getting to be awkward?
Yeah, look, it's not going to fit for everybody, is it?
Mm.
But, you know, look, I would again say that if your values are clear around the money and your vision has a real purpose about it and you can articulate that, you've got a lot more chance on your family staying together when you pass than leaving them a hand grenade when you go on.
And look, this can go for obviously million-dollar estates, but if your blood, sweat and tears and hard-earned money equals $50,000 when you move on and it's time to pass that over to other family members, that's still just as important to you as a $10 million estate to somebody else. And so that needs to be secured as well, because you might have worked your whole life to be able to have this $50,000 to give to your family, thinking they are going to buy a house and set themselves up. And what they do is go on around the world trip and blow it, you know. You really need to be clear, don't you? Because you could just be shattered otherwise.
Well, that's right. And again, your intention and the action can be two different things.
Mm.
And you haven't got a chance to explain yourself when you're gone.
Yeah.
And I just saw one recently where it was only one house that was being split between two sisters. And it was disproportionate in its percentage.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And the two sisters don't talk to each other anymore.
Gosh.
Lifetime lovely sisters. So that's not what we want. I wouldn't want that for my children. And so, you know, if you think about that and you say, well, if I can get someone who can mediate that sort of process and get everyone around a table and get buy-in,
mm.
there's going to be a lot more success.